As you take your seat, let's open in our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 3. It can be found on page 1255 if you'd like to use the Pew Bible underneath the seat in front of you. Last time, I believe it was a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the ending of chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. We saw that we're to be a devoted church in order to grow as a church. We're to be devoted to learning from God's Word, to a generous fellowship, to the sacraments, to prayer, and to praise. And today we're going to look at the entirety of chapter 3, which is 26 verses. And the first part is the healing of a lame man. And then the second part is Peter's sermon to the Jewish crowds about the healing of the lame man. And it's a bigger passage, but I really think we should look at them together because the sermon, the second part, gives understanding to the miracle, the first part. The sermon, in other words, helps us understand what are we to believe about this miracle? How does it apply to our lives? But then also, the miracle, the first part, is a good visual aid, if you will, or object lesson of what the point Peter's making in the sermon. So they both help each other and feed each other. So we're going to be going back and forth between the healing and the sermon throughout our study this morning. I'd like to remind you that there is an outline in the bulletin, though I'm sorry to say not all the cross-references and quotations are in there. I have added some since we printed the bulletin, so if you have any questions about what you can't see there, you can ask me later. Acts chapter 3, I'm going to read from the New King James Version, all 26 verses. Let's give our careful attention now. This is the perfect and authoritative word of our God that he has graciously given to us. Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you.' And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. And there we'll end the reading of God's most holy word. May the Lord bless his word to us as we consider it this morning. Well, over the past couple of weeks, we've learned about some health issues in our congregation that have come up in our time of prayer. For instance, we've heard, and we've already prayed about these things today, but we've heard about the mother of our late pastor, Jean Long, who had a mass in her abdomen. And then we've also heard about Karen Rhoda and Joel Fisher regarding problems with their eyes and their need for a cornea transplant. And so we've been praying for these people, haven't we? And in particular, we've been praying for their surgeries and their subsequent recoveries from them, because when these people learned that they had these problems with their bodies, how did they respond to it? They didn't ignore what was wrong with them. They didn't pretend nothing was wrong with them, but rather they acknowledged their problem, and then they sought the appropriate help to deal with their problem. Right? For all three of them, they had surgery this past week to do just that. And I bring this up to you today because our passage reminds us this morning that we all have something wrong with us. We all have something wrong with us. We have something wrong with our bodies, we know that, but more importantly, we have something wrong with our souls by nature. And our tendency is to ignore it and to pretend it's not really there. But what we really need to do is what Jean and Karen and Joel all did this week. We need to seek the appropriate help to deal with our problem. And that means, as we learn from our passage, we need to look to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. Because as we'll see this morning, he is the only one who can truly heal us. He is the only one who can make us what we should be as the creatures of God. And so as we look at these verses today, that's the main point of application. Right? Jesus Christ has come to bring restoration to our brokenness. And therefore, we need to look to Jesus for healing. And then, if we've been healed, we need to joyfully give praise to him before other people for doing that. So that's the main point that we'll see this morning. Well, firstly, as you can see on the outline, we need to know that we are all broken people living in a broken world. And so let's go back to the beginning of the passage, verses 1 to 3. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. As we saw last time, the church in Jerusalem often met together in the temple complex. In fact, we see later in verse 11 that Peter and John were heading to a part of the temple complex called Solomon's Porch, and they were doing that because it was the hour of prayer, Luke tells us. Remember, the Jews often prayed together throughout the day at the hours of prayer, and it seemed that the early church followed in their footsteps. And as Peter and John were on their way to meet the church for prayer, we're told, they came across a man begging at the gate of the temple. And that would not have been the front door of the actual temple itself, but it would have been one of the many gates. We're told it's the Beautiful Gate, though we don't know exactly which gate that was, but one of the many gates that would have led into the various parts of the greater temple complex. So as the apostles were heading to Solomon's Porch to meet with the church, here was this man asking for money. And notice how Luke describes the man for us. He says four things to note. First, he says that the man was lame. He was lame, and unlike how we use the word today, for instance, to speak of a limp or something like this, this man was lame in that he could not walk at all. Both of his legs were completely useless. He was paralyzed. He couldn't stand on his own, and he certainly couldn't walk on his own. As Luke says in verse 2, the man had to be carried by someone to the gate of the temple every single day. Then second, Luke says that the man was lame from his mother's womb, meaning his condition was not due to a recent accident, but had been his from birth. He was born with these unusable legs and feet. In other words, he hadn't lost the ability to walk. He never had the ability to walk. Third, Luke goes on to say that the lame man was a beggar, or to put it another way, he was needy and helpless. He couldn't take care of himself, and he couldn't fix his own problem. And then finally, Luke says he was cut off. Now, he was asking from alms from those entering the temple, meaning he was outside the temple. Right? Because at least according to popular opinion, this man was not allowed to go any farther. He was not allowed to go into the temple. He was close to the place of God's presence and blessing, but he couldn't get in there. He was cut off from it. So this man, Peter and John met as they went to the temple for prayer, was a needy, helpless man who was cut off from God's house. And according to Peter's sermon, this is why we have to look at the sermon too, this man is a picture of the spiritual condition of humanity apart from Jesus Christ. Now, look with me at verses 13 to 15. Here Peter's speaking to the crowds of the Jews that came to find out how this man had been healed. And he says here in verses 13 and following, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses." The people wanted to know, how had this man been healed? And in answering their question, you see, saying that Jesus had healed him, which we'll come back to talk about later, Peter used the opportunity to confront them with their sins. He said, "This healing was done by the one you killed." Right? In other words, the promised Messiah they had been waiting for had finally come, and yet what do? They delivered him up, they denied him, and then they killed him. Even Pontius Pilate, Peter says, thought Jesus was innocent, and yet you wanted a murderer in place of the Holy One. And Peter's saying, this makes no sense. Just stop and think about it. Why would you do such a thing? Because you're just like the lame man, spiritually speaking. That's what he's saying here. That's what he wants them to understand. They are disabled in the spiritual sense. They are poor and needy. They are not able to do what they should. They are blind and bankrupt, and because of those things, they too are cut off from God. This is why he tells them later in verse 19, "Repent and be converted, that your sins would be blotted out." As another pastor has put it, the lame man embodies in his person the spiritual condition of the Jews at the time. And Peter's drawing that to their attention. But that's not all, because he's also a picture of the spiritual condition of every human being, including ourselves, apart from Jesus Christ. Now, Paul says in Romans 3, verses 10 and following, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one." The Bible says this is our condition. We are like the lame man. We're spiritually lame. And this means we're not as we should be. There's something wrong with us. We're wicked by nature, and so we're cut off from God. And what's more, like the lame man, this has been our condition from birth, the Bible tells us, and there's nothing we can do to fix it ourselves. This is what Peter wants us to know. As you all know, we have a puppy at my house, and like most puppies, our dog likes to chew things, and in particular, things that she should not chew. And so a few weeks ago, I went out to the backyard to realize that she had gotten to the boy's trampoline. And when I say she had gotten to the boy's trampoline, I mean she pretty much ruined the boy's trampoline. And so I guess they still could have played with it in some ways, but it was no longer a safe place to play. It was certainly not the trampoline we had purchased for the boys. And so since there wasn't really anything I could do to fix it, we just threw it away. And you realize, we're like that trampoline as human beings, the Bible tells us. In the beginning, God made man perfectly holy. And yet because of the fall, we are now by nature the exact opposite of holy. We're broken people. Derek Thomas says, "Sickness is a picture of what sin has done to us. It has twisted and misshaped our lives, rendering us poor beggars trying to find some relief in a hostile world." Now, this is true for us spiritually. As we all know, this is true for us physically. What's more, this is true for us to a degree, even as redeemed Christians. And this is also true for the world in which we live. Nothing is exactly as it should be, at least not yet. Like the lame man, we are broken people living in a broken world. But, as we see secondly on the outline, Jesus has come to bring restoration to our brokenness. And so let's look now at verses 4 to 8. Here we're told, "And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he," the lame man, "gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. So here we're told, the lame man had asked for alms. He thought he was going to be given alms, and yet he was given something different from Peter and John. He was healed, Luke tells us. His ankle bones, his feet were given strength all of a sudden. He was able to stand up, and not only was he able to stand up, he was able to walk for the very first time in his years of life. In fact, Luke tells us three times in verses 7 and 8 that the man walked. That's how significant a fact this is, because he had never walked. He could not walk, and here now he was able. He even leaped up, we're told. But more than that, Luke says he walked and leaped into the temple praising God, meaning he was no longer cut off from God now that he had been healed of his infirmity. He could enter the gate of the temple. He could go into the place of God's presence and blessing. He was never able to do this before, but now since he's not a lame man, he can go into the house of the Lord. Right? So, though his body was broken, now it's fixed. Right? His lifelong problem had finally been dealt with and resolved, and so he's no longer a lame man begging at the gate of the temple. He's now a walking, leaping man praising God in the temple. And that's significant. It's amazing. And we see here in the passage, those who witnessed it, Peter tells us, or Luke tells us, were amazed by it. But how did it happen? That's what the Jewish people wanted to know. Verse 11, "Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed." Speaking of the Jewish people at the temple complex. "So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, 'Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this, or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?'" It was believed by some at the time that certain men would have powers to heal. There actually was a Jewish tradition that said that some people were so holy, God had to answer their prayers. And presumably the crowds thought Peter and John must fall into that category, that they had healed this man themselves. But as we see in the passage, Peter and John would not take the credit in any way. Because while they were the instruments through whom Jesus worked to heal this man, they know that it was Jesus who actually healed this man. They did not. As Peter told the people clearly in verse 16, "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know." And if you remember from verse 6, Peter said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And you see, in doing this, he wasn't using Jesus' name as some kind of magic formula, as the sons of Sceva would later try to do in the book of Acts. But rather, he's referring to the real, active, and powerful presence of Jesus himself. Right, that's what the name is. In the Bible, a person's name usually signifies that. It's not just a word. It stands for the personal presence of the person, as one author explains. And so, by saying the name of Jesus healed the man, Peter was really saying Jesus of Nazareth healed this man. Because though they had killed Jesus, God raised him from the dead, verse 15, and then glorified him at his right hand, verse 13. And now, from his throne in heaven, Jesus continues to work through his people by the Holy Spirit, which, remember, is what the book of Acts is all about. And we're seeing that again here in this third chapter. This wonderful, amazing healing was the work of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Peter told them. And as he went on, Jesus can give this healing to other people as well. Look at verses 17 and following. "Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance," speaking of crucifying Christ, "as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who has preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things." Right, so they were guilty for killing the Messiah, but if they repented of their sins and embraced Christ by faith, Peter said three things would happen for them. First, their sins would be forgiven. Right, that your sins may be blotted out, Peter told them. And this word translated blotted out is one often used for washing. Right, so the idea is that your sins would be washed away like the dirt is washed away on your from your plate. Right? They wouldn't be partially forgiven. They would be entirely forgiven. Every single one of their sins would be washed down the drain. Or to put it another way, the cause of their spiritual lameness would be dealt with by God. Then second, Peter said there would be a time of restoration for them to look forward to. Now, this is what Peter said in verse 21. And here it's a reference to the return of Jesus Christ and to the bringing in of the new heavens and the new earth. Now, when Jesus comes back, the Bible says, all things will be restored. Everything. Right? So the creation will no longer be subject to sin, and people who are Christians will no longer be sinners. Right? They will be glorified in body and in soul. They will be made just like Jesus Christ. And Peter's saying, this is what you can look forward to if you come to Christ. He's telling them. And then thirdly, Peter said they would be given times of refreshing. He mentioned this to them in verse 19, and I put this one last on the list because these times of refreshing are actually foretastes of what will happen completely at the final time of restoration. In other words, there will be complete healing at the return of Christ, but there is still healing to be given and enjoyed right here, right now, in the present. Right? The healing process, to put it another way, can begin now. And it can continue throughout your life, all the way to the point of final restoration. That's what these times of refreshing are about. So putting these things together, Peter's saying, Jesus can heal you too, just like he healed this man. And that's what God is saying to us through Peter's sermon today. That our sin problem can be dealt with by God. We can be given what we lack and what we need. We can be given access to the Lord and to all of his blessings. Even though we're broken, we can be restored both today and on into the future. The Father can send Jesus to us, as Peter says. He can make us new creatures who have new desires and new spiritual abilities. He can remove the stain of sin from us and grow us in holiness. He can purge the innate wickedness from us and give us more of the nature of Christ. He can radically transform us and make us more like the people we were designed to be, holy and without defect. In a word, he can heal us at conversion. He can continue to heal us in sanctification, and he will finally and completely heal us at our glorification. That's what Peter wants us to learn from the healing of the lame man. Jesus can also heal you and me, even now, today. Now, when I was building my desk earlier this year, it was kind of a complicated process because if you've seen my desk, it's unlike other desks. It has wires in it and it has moving parts to it. And so I was really glad that the instructions for building the desk came with pictures because the pictures helped me make a lot more sense of what the instructions were telling me to do. And in a way, that's what we're given here in the healing of the lame man. He is a picture. He is a visual aid, if you will, to help us know what Jesus can do for us. Right? J.C. Ryle once said, regard every one of these miracles as an emblem and figure of spiritual things. See in them a lovely picture of what he is able to do for your souls. And what this picture shows us is that Jesus can heal us and he can bring restoration to our brokenness. It's amazing, as the people recognize. And as we see thirdly on the outline, this is because Jesus is the promised Christ of the Old Testament. As Peter said to the lame man in verse 6, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And by saying this, Peter was making a claim to the people. He was saying that this man named Jesus from the city of Nazareth is the Christ. And remember, Christ is not Jesus' last name, boys and girls. Christ is a title. Now, to be the Christ, in other words, is to be the anointed one. It's to be the Messiah. It's to be the promised Savior. And here Peter's saying to the people, Jesus, the one you killed, he is that man. He is the promised Savior. As he went on to say, the prophets of the Old Testament had been prophesying about Jesus as such all along. Now, verse 18, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Verse 21, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Verse 24, yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. Now, these days are the days of Jesus and his ministry. According to Peter, this is what the Old Testament had been saying all along. It was speaking of Jesus and of his work of salvation, the things that happened in Jesus' earthly life and the things that were continuing to happen in the present. And so this is why Peter referred to Jesus in his sermon by many of the Old Testament messianic titles. He referred to, for instance, to Jesus as God's servant. Yeah, because this was one of the ways the Old Testament spoke of the promised Savior. He would be a suffering servant, which Jesus certainly was, and he would also be an exalted servant. Isaiah 52:13 says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." Peter also referred to Jesus as the Holy One and the Just or Righteous in his sermon. Verse 14, because these are both titles used to speak of the Messiah in the Old Testament. Along with this, Peter called Jesus the Prince of Life, or perhaps better translated, the Author of Life. This is the one who gives life to his people, who raises them from the dead and leads them to on high. Now, this is the Messiah. Peter says, this is Jesus of Nazareth. Then towards the end of his sermon, Peter went on to say that Jesus is the prophet who would be like Moses. At verse 22, "For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you.'" And this is a quote from Deuteronomy 18, speaking of the Messiah. He would be a prophet like Moses. He's one to whom we must listen. Here Peter's saying, again, this is Jesus. And finally, at the end of the sermon, Peter concluded by saying, Jesus is also the seed of Abraham. Verse 25, "You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you." God promised all the way in the book of Genesis that Abraham, one of Abraham's offspring, would be the carrier of salvation to the world. He would bring the blessing of God's salvation to both Jews and Gentiles. And as Peter said here, Jesus was sent to bring this blessing to the world. He is the promised seed. And remember, these Jewish people would have been very familiar with all of these titles. So in Peter's mind, there's no question about it. Jesus is the one they had been reading about. Jesus is the one they had been waiting for. He's the promised Savior and King. And how did Peter know this? It's because the Old Testament had said that when the Messiah comes, the lame will leap. That's how he knew. Look on the back of your outline at Isaiah 35. Verses 4 to 6. "Say to those who are fearful hearted, 'Be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert." Right. The Old Testament said, this is how you'll know when the Savior has arrived. The lame will leap like a deer. And what are we told here about the lame man at the temple? He leaped like a deer. And this is why that little detail is so, so important to the story. This man and his leaping is proof of Jesus' identity. You may remember when John the Baptist sent his men to ask Jesus, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus said to them, "The lame walk." Luke 7:22. Again, this is the proof of the Savior's coming, and so it is here in Acts chapter 3. Jesus healed this man and enabled him to walk and leap because Jesus is the Messiah. And friends, that's why he can also heal us today and restore our brokenness today. You know, when Joel and Karen had their eye surgeries this week, they didn't go to just any doctor. Right? I'm positive they did their research. They went to a particular doctor. Because not just anyone could fix the particular problems they had with their eyes. It had to be someone with the right qualifications and with the right skills. And in the same way, not just anyone can fix the problems we have as sinful human beings. In fact, no one on earth can fix the problems we have in our spiritual brokenness. Only Jesus can bring that kind of restoration into our lives because only Jesus is the promised Christ of the Old Testament. And as we see fourthly on the outline, to be given this restoration and healing from Jesus, you must repent and believe in him. After telling the people that they can be healed by Jesus like the lame man, notice that Peter went on to also tell them how they can be given this healing themselves from Jesus. Look at verse 19 again. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So since Jesus is the Christ who can heal you, this is what you must do if you want to be healed like the lame man, Peter said. You need to repent of your sins. And to repent, simply put, is to change direction. Right? It is to stop going away from God and to start going towards God. It's to stop going in the direction of sin and to start going in the other direction of obedience. To repent, in other words, is to abandon your rebellion and to embrace the Lord and His will. Right? The Catechism 87. What is repentance unto life? Repentance, to repent, is to have grief and hatred of your sin, and as such, to turn from it unto God with full purpose of an endeavor after new obedience. This is the way, to be given the forgiveness of your sins and the healing of your brokenness, Peter said. You must repent and be converted. You must turn away from sin and to the Lord. And then with that, he says, you must trust in Jesus to heal you. Look at verse 16 again. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Commentators debate, whose faith is Peter talking about here? The apostle's faith to heal the man, or the man's faith to be given the healing? And some say the former, others say the latter. Personally, I think it's both. I think it's both. To be sure, the apostles had to have faith that they were going to heal this man in the name of Jesus. As the human instruments of the restoration, faith was a necessity. They had to trust that Jesus is among us and Jesus will work through us. But it also seems that the lame man needed to have faith if he was going to be healed. For instance, by saying to the man, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, it seems that Peter and John were calling on the man, believe in the name of Jesus to enable you to rise up and walk. Believe that Jesus is the Savior. Believe that He will powerfully raise you up to your feet. But either way, one thing is crystal clear here. Faith was the instrument through which the lame man was healed. Peter makes that so clear for us in verse 16. Faith in the name of Jesus, that is in His powerful presence to heal, is what gave this man the ability to walk. Faith is the avenue through which we receive the saving benefits of Christ. And what is faith? Well, the Shorter Catechism again explains it well. Question 86, faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest upon Him alone for salvation as He's offered to us in the gospel. So to have faith is to believe that Jesus is the promised Savior and that He has saved you by His life, His death, His resurrection. Right? So to be healed of your brokenness, Peter says, you have to look to Jesus through repentance and through faith. And of course, you need to do that for the first time if you never have before, and you need to continue doing that throughout your life, always turning from sin, always looking to Jesus. Because if you're not looking to Jesus, then what will happen? Peter says, you'll never be healed of your brokenness, and you will die a broken man. Verse 23, and it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. And so, friends, here we are called to ask ourselves, have we repented of our sins and trusted in Jesus Christ? Are you abandoning the lifestyle of sin and embracing the Lord? Are you looking to Christ for healing, or are you choosing to remain in your brokenness? Of course, the choice is obvious. We should look to Jesus and be healed, and that's what God is inviting us to do. Indeed, that's what God is commanding us to do here from Acts chapter 3, that we would come, that we would look to Christ. But notice in Peter's sermon that both repentance and faith need to be given to you. And he brings out both of these things for us. In verse 26, Peter said that the Jews needed to be turned away from their sin by the Lord. And in verse 16, Peter said that faith comes through Jesus. In other words, repentance and faith are both gifts from God. They're not natural to us. Because you see, we can't do either of these things on our own. We're too broken. And so we need God to give them to us, which means we need to pray for them. Okay, so friends, if you want your brokenness to be healed and continue to be healed, then here we're told we need to ask God for the gifts of repentance and faith and to keep asking God for that, because it's through those things that we'll be healed. As I'm sure you kids know, it's just a little over 3 weeks and then it's going to be Christmas Day. And some of you may have your tree up in your house as we do, and there may be presents under the tree, or maybe not yet under the tree, but they'll soon be under the tree. And those presents, boys and girls, are presents that you did not buy, right? But they're presents that will be for you because someone else bought them for you. And yet, in order for you to enjoy those presents, what do you have to do? You have to actually open the package, right? Because otherwise, the gift is useless to you. And in the same way, the healing that Jesus provides is completely free of charge, the Bible tells us. It costs you and me nothing because Jesus has paid every penny of it. But if we're to enjoy the present, what do we first have to do? We have to open it. And here Peter says, to open the present, you have to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. Look to Jesus Christ, the Bible says, every day of your life, and He will restore you. And then finally, as we come to our fifth point on the outline, let us see that if you have been given restoration, you need to joyfully give praise to God for it before other people. So, looking again at the text, let's see how the lame man responded to being healed, because his response is instructive for what our response should be as well. Look back at verse 8 one more time. So he, the lame man, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. So here, we're told, first, the healed man walked. Right? That is, having been given new abilities, he used the new abilities. Now that his ankles and feet had been strengthened, he stood up on them and he moved around on them. He didn't treat them like an antique car that you drive once or twice a year. He immediately got up and started walking around. In the same way, if you've been healed by Jesus, you've been given a new nature, you've been given new abilities, you need to walk, so to speak. You need to live as the new creature Jesus has made you to be. You need to employ the freedom He's given you from sin and Satan. You need to live out the new life He's blessed you with and use those new abilities He's provided for you. Second, we see the healed man leaped. In other words, as he walked on his newly strengthened legs, he did so joyfully. He jumped for joy, literally jumped for joy. He was grateful to God for what he had been given, and it was obvious in his life. And again, friends, if we really understand what Jesus has done for us, is doing for us, and will do for us in his work of restoration, then isn't joy what should naturally follow? Are you glad that Christ has healed you? Are you glad that he will heal you, that he is healing you? This too needs to be our response at every stage of the healing process. Then third, we see that the healed man praised God. As he walked and as he leaped, Peter tells us, he also sang God's praises. He expressed his gratitude to God in song and in word. He spoke of what the Lord had done for him, and he gave credit and honor where it was due. And likewise, we should praise the Lord for his work of healing in our life. We should sing his praises because we've been healed. We should give honor to him because of what he's doing for us. In fact, one of the greatest ways we can praise him for healing is by doing what we've already mentioned. Use the healing he's given you. You want to say thank you to the Lord. Use these new abilities. Use, live out the healing. That is a way to praise him. And then fourthly and finally, we see that the healed man did all of these things before other people. This is a small point, but I think an important point. He entered the temple, Peter tells us, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him. In other words, he didn't hide his new ability. He wasn't ashamed of what Jesus had done for him. No, he wanted everyone to see it. He wanted everyone to know it. And as we're told in verses 9 to 11, the people were amazed by what they saw, and they wanted to know, how did this happen? And so too, if we've been healed by Jesus, we shouldn't hide what he's done for us. As we walk and as we leap and praise the Lord, we should do it unashamedly and in the sight of other people, because we want them to see the difference and we want them to ask the question, friend, how did this happen? What brought about this change in your life? If we've been healed by Christ at any and every stage, here we're told it should be obviously seen in our life. That's the point. There should be walking. There should be leaping. There should be praising. And everyone around us should be able to see us doing those things. Because that's how a healed man says thank you to the one who healed him. And because that's the only right way to respond when you've been given such a wonderful and undeserved gift from the Lord. I remember watching a video once of a tribe in Indonesia receiving the New Testament in their own language for the very first time. You can still watch it online. It's worth your time. They had waited 47 years for this day to come. And so, imagine being in their situation. They were all Christians. When they saw this plane come down from Missionary Aviation Fellowship bringing their Bibles, how were they responding? They were obviously overjoyed. They're literally jumping up and down. They're dancing. They're singing praises. They're screaming. They're smiling. People are wailing tears of joy. Why? Because the Bible was that much of a treasure to them. It was a precious gift, and they were beyond thankful to God for that gift. Friends, is that similar to how you respond to the work of Jesus Christ for you today? And are you rejoicing and praising God that He is at work to heal you of your brokenness? This is why God has given us Acts chapter 3. He wants us to know that Jesus, who is the Christ, has come to bring restoration to our brokenness. And He wants us to know that so that we will look to Him for healing through repentance and faith, and so that we will joyfully give praise to Him in all that we do before other people for the great work of healing He has given to us. And so by God's grace, let's do that as a congregation, and let's do that today. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we look to You today that You would continue and work this great work of healing in our life by Your Spirit. Lord Jesus, we pray for any of us among us who have never been healed, who have never been converted to Christ, that You would grant them the gifts of repentance and faith even today and bring them to Jesus Christ for salvation. We pray as well for those who have been brought to Christ in salvation, that You would continue to give us those gifts of repentance and faith, that our eyes would always be on Jesus, that we would not be content with our brokenness, but we would be crying out to You that You would restore our brokenness and continue to do so. And Lord, as we look forward to the great day of final restoration, of complete healing, body and soul, we pray that that would fill us with great joy. May we be a joyful people. May we know what Christ has done, is doing, and will do for us as this lame man did. May we be a walking, praising, leaping people in this world. Give us the grace to do that, we pray, in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.